This is the Church Multiplication Collective Podcast, a podcast designed to help you multiply like never before.
Hey, everybody. I'm your host, Ed Love, and I oversee the Church Multiplication Collective, which is an intentional community of Wesleyan leaders committed to discovering, developing, and deploying workers for the Lord's harvest. Today, I'm going to be sharing with you another nine-minute talk from our Wesleyan pre-conference that was given at Exponential East 2017. And I just want to take a moment to let you know about Exponential East 2018. That's where the party's going to be at. You're going to want to be there February 26th through March 1st. It's a little earlier this year. It's not in April. It's on the back end of February. So you want to find out all the information and get registered. You can go right to wesleyan.org/exponential. And would love to see you there. And I'm excited about where we're going and where Exponential is kind of guiding us this year. The theme this year is Hero Maker, which is going to be so good as we begin thinking about developing a multiplication pipeline. So today I'm going to bring you this talk from Mike Hilson. Mike leads the New Life Church in La Plata, Maryland. And he also oversees the New Life Network, which is strictly focused on multiplication. And Mike's bringing a talk entitled, Why Our Evangelistic Motives Matter in a Movement. So you're going to want to sit down, grab some coffee, soak this up. Here's Mike. Ready, go.
All right. Everybody put your pencils down. Lean back. You don't need to take notes. This is Mike. He's not going to say anything important. All right. So here's what I want to do. I want to tell you three stories, and I'm going to give you one thing to write down. Now, when I'm done, it'll be clear. You probably won't need to write it down. You'll probably just remember it. All right. The first scripture verse I ever memorized, because they told me to talk about evangelism, the first scripture verse I ever memorized. Can I pause just a minute? How are you going to let me know what time? Oh, gotcha. Okay. First scripture verse I ever memorized was this one. And Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. That's the first verse I ever memorized. Therefore, evangelism sat clearly in my heart. But here was the problem. I am an evangelist, but I'm really lousy at personal evangelism. I stink at it. I don't have a single story of somebody getting saved on an airplane. Not one. Nobody's ever sat at a restaurant with me and found the Lord over dessert. It's never happened. But I am an evangelist. So I had to figure out how to do this, and at first I thought, well, I guess God's just not going to use me, and then I was 18 years old, and I took a year off of school between high school and college, and I was working construction with my dad, and there was this guy named Ricky that worked with us, and Ricky had a messed up life. Ricky was in his 20s, his wife was in her 50s. That's only part of the story. Ricky's best friend was married to his wife's daughter. The whole thing was a mess. So I came to work one day. While I'm working there, we had this Freddie Gage crusade that went through town, right? And it's all about go tell about Jesus, go tell about Jesus, go tell about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, talk to Ricky. And I didn't, because I stink at it. And I didn't. So I came back to work on Monday a few weeks after the crusade, and Ricky didn't show up for work. My dad was the construction superintendent. I said, where's Ricky? He said, we don't know. Came back the next day, we still don't know. Came back the next day, and Ricky's friend didn't come to church. I mean, didn't come to work. Daddy said, Michael, they found Ricky. Somebody took a shotgun and blew him away. Ricky's dead. I resolved in my heart that day that I would have as few Rickies in my life as I possibly could. But I'm going to say it this way for the millennials, I still suck at personal evangelism. I do. So what am I going to do? I decided to preach. So I became a pastor and I started preaching, and people got saved when I preach. I'd literally have to make the altar call harder so fewer people would come, because most of them didn't mean it. It worked. I don't know why it worked. I love the scripture that says through the foolishness of preaching, because that makes sense to me. I don't get it. But they came. But then one day I was in Cincinnati. We were preparing for some Wesleyan event there, and I'm sitting in a hotel room in Cincinnati, and I'm looking out, and I'm from the country. I'd never seen a double-decker bridge before. I'm looking out my window at this double-decker bridge, all these cars going both directions over this river. And I thought, dude, there's a lot of people in this town. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit hit me. Somebody's got to reach all of them. Every set of headlights represents somebody that needs me. And I suddenly realized me preaching in one little old church won't get it done. So I decided what I've got to do is I've got to reach a whole city. I can't pastor a church. I have to pastor a city. So I went back to pastor my city, which meant, I don't know, I did the only thing I knew to do. I got to know the mayor. I did all that stuff. I tried to pastor a city. It's weird. Then God sent us to La Plata. And we went to La Plata, Maryland, and started preaching, and people got saved, and things started changing, and church grew, and next thing I knew, we had a big church. I'd always wanted a big church, and all of a sudden we had a big church, and I thought when you got a big church, you'd have arrived, and you'd be, like, secure, and you'd feel like you were, you know, smart. Yeah, that's not true. Wayne Schmidt is smart. I'm still dumb. And I started trying to realize, I started trying to think, how do you do this? Because I realized I wasn't going to reach my community with that church, even though it was big. And I mean, by far the biggest church in the county. And we weren't getting it done. We weren't, to this day, this is true, we weren't even keeping up with population growth. So the kingdom of God was still losing market share. And I asked myself a question. This is one of two. There might be two things for you to write down. This is the first one you might consider, but you don't have to. Which is better? One church of 2,000 or 10 churches of 200? Now keep in mind, I pastor a church of 2,000. Well, in the central campus. So which is better? You think, he's going to say 2,000, but it's really 200. No, it's 200. 10 churches of 200 are better than one church of 2,000. That's true. Because if you pastor one church of 2,000 and you quit, then you leave behind a high probability of failure with the people that come behind you. Because most mega churches, when they transition to the next generation pastor, don't transition well. Some do, but most don't. So what you're going to leave behind is a high probability of failure. If you leave behind 10 churches of 200, you leave behind a high probability of success. So I started doing the math on it and realized just simple math and simple logic said I'd be better off with 10 churches of 200. But I was pastoring a church of 2,000, so what am I going to do, break it up into 10 pieces? I didn't like that idea. I kind of like pastoring 2,000 people. But then I thought, wait. Maybe I'm comparing two betters and missing the best. Because the best case scenario is one church of 2,000 surrounded by 10 churches of 200 and they all work together. Because a church of 2,000 can do things the church of 200 can't do. And a church of 200 can do things the church of 2,000 can't do. And a church of 100 can do things the church of 200 can't do. And a church of 500 can do things the church of 300 can't do. But what if they all worked together and they shared resources? What if instead of having to duplicate the office 15 times, I can have the office one time and it's created efficiently enough to serve 10 different churches? And I don't have to have 10 copier contracts. Can somebody say amen? You see what I'm saying? So watch. God moved me from preaching to a congregation to reaching a city to starting a movement. But God never changed the core desire. I'm not speaking to the church growth movement, okay? Everybody's got this? Everybody hears me, right? This is me. It's just me. We don't plant churches to reach lost people. We plant churches because lost people are being reached and they need somewhere to go. It's all about reaching lost people. That's got to be first. He said, but wait. I thought you said multiplicate. Yeah. Watch. Here's what I want you to write down. And I want you to do it this way first. Before you write it down, put your pen down. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor this. You must reach people. Tell them that. That's not good enough. You got to say that with authority. Your preachers say it like you're preaching it. You must reach people. Everybody got it? Now look at him and say, and I must reach people. Tell them that. You ready? You ready? 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 Now look at me. Now look at me. But we must change culture. Those are two different things. Don't lose one because of the other. Because humanity must be saved by the blood of Jesus.